Jerusalem for the Passover. So before we look any further, please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for John's account of Jesus' life and everything that we can learn through it. We pray that today our hearts and minds will be open to what you're saying to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have a riddle for you. And if you think of an answer, just feel free to call it out and you'll get a thumbs up if it's right. Okay, why is a Met card like an Old Testament temple? Oh, that's okay, but any other answers? Doesn't exist anymore? That's pretty close. No longer any use? That's about here on the thumbs up scale, yep. It's the old version of something new. Way to go, Josh Sim. Yeah, so the answer I had was they both represent old systems. So they were both used for a certain purpose, and now that method has changed, they've been replaced by a new system. So given that the Old Testament temple, much like a Met card, is no longer in use, it seems like it wouldn't matter that much to us what Jesus said in John's account that Sophia just read. We don't worship in a temple anymore, and we don't make animal sacrifices to God anymore. But I can tell you that Jesus' words to these first century believers relate directly to our lives as God's people. But before we think about what Jesus did and said in the temple, let's ask ourselves another question. What did everyone else do and say in the temple? What did Jews in the first century even go to the temple for? What was its purpose? One reason they went was to offer sacrifices to God, to experience God's forgiveness and to repent of their sins. Another reason was to meet with each other and to learn from Jewish teachers. And another reason was to draw near to God because it was his dwelling place. But really, I think the temple had two main purposes. One, it was the place where you went to sacrifice to God and ask forgiveness. And it was the place where you went to meet God in his dwelling place and to learn about God from other people. For the people Jesus is talking to in John's account, the temple is the center of their life. It's a sacred place and a place that they're very familiar with, which is why it's a bit abrupt and perhaps even a shock when Jesus says this.
Destroy this temple.
Jesus actually says he's going to destroy God's dwelling place. He doesn't think the temple is worth much at all. Maybe he thinks that the thing's poorly built. Maybe he thinks that he could build another one just as good in 3 days. Or maybe he has something else in mind altogether, something other than an impressive building. John's account says that after Jesus was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered what he had said in the temple. So Jesus has destroyed the temple and rebuilt it in 3 days. But what did he rebuild it as? What did he have in mind when he talked about destroying the temple? It's right there in verse 21, if anyone has their Bibles open. Jesus is predicting his own victory over death. He's hinting at a time when people would come to him as the place where God dwells, not the temple. So now I want to think for a while about the temporary as the primary place where God dwells and the place where we meet with other Christians and learn from them. Jesus' body is now the place where we go for everything that God's people once went to the temple for. But what does that mean for us almost 2,000 years after Jesus left the earth? If Jesus' body is the place where God dwells, then where is Jesus' body? With Jesus now in heaven and not on earth, the temple must be less accessible than ever, right? So how can Jesus' body be the temple if that's the case? Well, he doesn't mean his physical body because he took that with him. He didn't leave it here with us. And don't think that we don't need a temple anymore because now, the same as always, God's people need to confess to God and ask forgiveness for their sins. and they need to meet God where he dwells and learn about God from other people. So, where do we go instead of the temple? The first answer you might think or might come to mind is the church. We go to church regularly, just as people in John's account went to the temple regularly. But is church the same as the temple? Do we offer things to God when we come to church? Do we sacrifice to him? Well, we don't. We remember Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. Do we just enter God's presence when we come into this building here and then leave it when we go out at the end? No, because God doesn't just dwell in this building. So actually, the church building isn't our equivalent of the temple at all. And it's not what Jesus is talking about in John's account. Something else has become Jesus' body now that he's in heaven. Have you noticed how in the New Testament, the body is a picture that's often used for God's people gathered together? For example, in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul warns the church that some of them are getting sick because they ignore the body when they come together to eat a meal in remembrance of Jesus' death. I think what he means by body there is the people of God gathered together as Christ's body. And then in chapter 12, he tells them that they're the body of Christ and individually members of it. So here's an exciting thought. Jesus is saying that the temple, the place where God now dwells, is us, his people. As we gather together in small groups, as we interact with one another, God is present. It's a shift from a physical building to a spiritual community. We aren't just part of the temple when we come here to repent of our sins and ask forgiveness. We don't leave the temple when we close our Bibles or when the sermon finishes or when we go home at the end of a Sunday service. So, for example, Michael, when you're away, does that mean that you're not married to Fiona anymore when you're away from home? Yeah, that's right. Right answer. Or Angus, for example. When school finishes for the day and you go home, does that mean that you're no longer part of your Year 7 class?
I wish.
Okay, well, you get a half thumbs up. Because the correct answer is no. He's still enrolled in his class. So that's right. Just like when we leave this church on Sunday afternoons or Sunday mornings, we don't stop being part of the body. So what does it mean that we're part of Christ's body? It means we need to think about our priorities and about our participation. Being a part of Christ's body is always going to be about priorities. As we talked about before, we're not just part of Christ's body on Sundays. And even more, we're not just part of Christ's body on the Sundays that suit us when we're not busy or when we don't sleep in. We're part of Christ's body on Tuesday nights and on Thursday mornings as well. We're part of Christ's body all the time. So Christ's body needs to take priority in our lives. More than this, looking after Christ's body and not exploiting it needs to take priority in our lives. This means not entering into the body of Christ with wrong motives or for our own gain. Instead, it means using Christ's body for what its purpose is, learning about God and meeting with God's people. So unlike the money changers and the merchants in John's account who came to the temple to profit off their fellow believers and take advantage of the needs of others, our task is to become productive members of the body, to do all we can to build up the body and make it strong. It reminds me of something that I heard on a CU camp a few years ago. The speaker referred to Christian Union as a dating service, which is not entirely inaccurate, actually. It's a joke that gets made from time to time. A big group of Christian uni students, all just beginning their lives, their adult lives, and looking to see what God has in store for them. Of course, people are going to keep an eye out for a potential husband or wife and potentially find one, just like they do on all sorts of mission trips and camps that young people go on. However, if a student joined the Christian Union just to meet girls, or boys if it's a female, which sometimes does happen, then they would be coming into the body of Christ with their priorities wrong, with mistaken motives. They would be joining the body, first and foremost, for their own gain, not to encourage others, not to serve the body, and not to grow in their relationship with God, but just to get what they want. Our priority needs to be looking after the body, first and foremost, not ourselves. The great thing about the picture of the church as a body is that it illustrates how important our participation is to the health of the body. You see, it's not just about priorities. It's also about how we act as members of the body. This means having unity and cooperation within the body, not self-interest, not indifference, not laziness, but cooperation and concern between members of the body. Participation means working alongside the rest of the body of Christ, encouraging them, supporting them, not just seeing to our own needs. Okay, I'd like everyone to reach underneath their chair and check if there's a little tag blue tacked on there. It'll be just right behind. It'll be just right behind your legs on the black bit. If you've got empty seats in front of you or next to you, it would be a big favour to me if you could just check them as well. Okay, have all the chairs kind of, as long as every row's had someone look over it, then that's fine. Okay, now I just want to check that the whole body is included and that I didn't leave anything out, because that would be bad. So hands up if you're the head. No one's the head. We've missed a chair. If there are empty chairs around you, have another look. Serious about what? Oh, yeah, the head has not been found. All right, never mind. That's fine. Okay. We don't need a head. Can I have a... I'll have a volunteer to be the head. I feel like Steph was the first hand I saw. Okay, come on out here, head. Okay, do we have a torso? Come on out. Okay, do we have the right arm and the right hand? There's a few bits of the arm. Anyone who's part of the right arm or the hand, out you come. Missing a right hand as well. Oh, no, we got everyone? Cool. Okay, what I want you guys to do as I call you out is arrange yourselves as a body. Cool? So holding on, we can have the head at the back. And we'll have the feet down here and arrange yourselves correctly. Okay, now the left arm. Anyone who's involved in the left arm? Cool. Awesome. Have we got the hips and the legs? Cool. Okay. Everyone who's got a tag, out you come and form the body. Guys, yeah, awesome. We're missing the there needs to be a torso and some legs coming out here. Are you torso? Okay, we need the hips. Awesome. And then the legs can... Awesome. Right thigh. Cool. Okay, so we've got a body. We've got the head and the neck up the back. Nice. Steph and Melinda. Cool. And then we've got the arms spreading out here. And we've got the legs spreading out here. Super. What a healthy body. It's got everything that it needs. Okay, now, everyone with red writing on their tag, just come and form a line across here. Everyone with black writing, stay where you are. Cool, so we can dispense with them. Now, let's take a look at what we're left with. Where's the left arm? Where are the parts of the left arm? Oh, it's gone away. So this hand, left hand, look at him, standing out there in the middle of nowhere with nothing to hold on to. Oh, my gosh. Okay, body, we've lost contact with the left hand. Okay, how about the right foot? Where's the right foot? Right foot. Oh, so have we got the whole leg here or have we lost part of the leg? Where's the right leg? Oh, so we've got half a leg missing and it's going to make it pretty tricky to walk. Okay, where's the neck? Oh, that's not good. So the head's just bubbling on. There's nothing supporting the head. There's nothing. Okay, I know this seems like a joke, but look at this body. Just take a look. With half of its members missing. Okay, guys here next to me, look around you. Does it look sparse? Probably particularly to Josh Sim. I don't know. Maybe not to these guys. But, yeah, it looks sparse from where I'm standing. And, in fact, those of you who are in your seats, look around you as well. You probably have some empty seats in your row that you didn't have before, maybe next to you unless you've filled them in, thanks to me recruiting all of these volunteers. But actually, is this ever what our church looks like? With empty seats? Even when the preacher doesn't require volunteer assistance and bring everyone up the front? Well, sometimes it is. All right, you guys can take a seat. Yeah, thanks for your participation. Yeah, if you were thinking that having empty seats next to you is familiar, I was thinking the same, which is why this is so important for us to think about. The church without half of its members is like the body with parts missing. It's limited. It doesn't function as well. And all the other members of the body need to work hard in order to compensate. In the same way, the members of Christ's body rely on each other for strength, for development, and for worship. We aren't just part of the body of Christ for ourselves. We're part of it for the benefit of others. So coming to church isn't just about our own worship. It's not a private matter between us and God. When we aren't at church, or when we aren't at our small groups, or when we aren't at youth group, or when we aren't at the important events in the life of this community, or when we aren't helping out where we're needed, it causes harm to the rest of the body. We don't just belong to the body of Christ on Sundays. So if you've ever heard of that term, a Sunday Christian, it doesn't exist. Nobody can be a Sunday Christian because being part of Christ's body means being part of his body all the time. So if we stay home from church, the body feels that loss. If we stop going to our small group or to youth group, the body notices. That's not to say that presence is all it takes to participate. No, it takes more than presence. We heard from Paul before in 1 Corinthians that while each member of the body contributes in a different way, they're all equally important to the health of the body. It's important for us to remember this. No one in this body is of less importance to anyone else. And we're all responsible for meeting the needs of the rest of the body in whatever ways we can. You might participate in the body by helping someone move or giving someone a lift home. On the other hand, it might be that you're there for someone who's having a difficult time and your listening ear is exactly the support they need. Or you might volunteer to serve the rest of the congregation at church, even in a way that you won't get much praise for, even in a way that's not exciting, even in a way that you don't enjoy. It's all of our responsibility to build up the body. So when an opportunity comes up to serve or help the rest of the body, we should take it gladly instead of expecting someone else to do it. The example that Jesus set us in this account from John that we read is one of absolute passion for God's honor and for his dwelling place. In the same way, as members of Christ's body, we need to honour him and look after the temple that he dwells in. We do this by, first and foremost, prioritising and participating in the body of Christ with all of our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've called us to be the body of Christ, and we pray that as we go out this week, we might all think about how we can serve the body first and foremost and not ourselves, and bring glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.